Hey, what is up? How you doing, nerd fam? It's Iffy Wadiway, and you're listening to Nerdificent, and across from me, as always, Eels.
Danny Fernandez.
How you doing?
Iffy, I saw you eat like a massive hamburger today on Instagram.
It was a 14-pound burger.
What?
Yeah, you know, and I really, it was a whole thing. You know how I'm doing my keto jam.
I don't think how bodies work.
Yeah, no, I'm learning that the hard way. I have had trouble breathing all day. And, you know, I get it.
You probably burned calories trying to eat it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, what was so crazy is because, you know, you always wonder with those cooking shows, like, oh, what do you do after it? And they're just like, okay, are you going to take this? And I was like, well, if you guys are going to throw away, yes. You know, like, I come from that Nigerian heritage. Like, I was in Nigeria. They're like, you eat the whole cow. You do not leave any of the cow.
That's for Mexican families, too.
Yeah, it was like a whole thing. Like, we were getting yelled at. But, like, she was kind of hustling us. There was a lady who was on the property who was like, you are not going to eat the whole cow. You are going to throw it away. She assumed because we were Americans. But my dad was like, no, we are going to eat the whole cow. And she was like, I will take these cows. And so I was like, oh. She just hustled us because she just took some of the meat. But all right, I got to respect the hustle. Shout out if she's listening all the way over.
I don't think she is.
I'm going to assume she is.
I don't think she is.
Today we have a special guest, though.
We do.
Oh, my gosh. This is a voice that I've heard for most of my life. And I got to being in the room with them, you know. I saved it all for the air. I didn't want to geek out, but now you can't be weirded out because we have you on the tape.
We've walked her in.
I could still be weirded out.
Okay. She can leave
just
at any moment.
On tape.
The door does have a lock to it. So we
this isn't an escape room, is it? Yeah.
There's a puzzle you have to figure out before you get out of here.
I think I'm the only one in here who hasn't been in an escape room because I'm bad at puzzles. So I just know because you know every one of my friends who go in escape rooms, there always is that one person who they're like, this guy was so dumb and he was slowing down the process. And I was like, oh, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that person.
Yeah, but if you're good at something, you have value. So it's like you want to bring someone that's good at word games, someone's good at math, someone's good at puzzle. Like, because like, oh, I can figure out this math question. I can figure out this geography question.
Yeah.
Like, people that are good at different things are helpful.
Okay,
so,
cool.
Yeah, and even if you're just having a good time and you
is there a portion where it's like, do a Fortnite dance? And
I haven't seen that, but I'll get back to you.
We need someone that's buff as hell, like, or something.
Yeah, I'll do that. If it's like
to
deadlift.
Unlock a code.
Yeah, you have to deadlift this 350 pounds.
This bookshelf.
Yeah.
We are talking to a woman of, in my opinion, thousands of voices. I don't know if that's correct, but I'm going to think that it is.
According to Voice Chasers this week, it was 1,100.
See?
But that's only like credited roles. You know, a lot of times we're in the booth and they're like, hey, can you do this extra little girl and this over guy over here?
Yeah. Roger Craig Smith, who you have worked with.
Who I hate.
Who you hate, canonically hate. He was saying that, in one show alone, he was credited as doing 100 voices in one show.
Wow, that's because he's not good. So they'll be like, oh, give the crappy little word. He can say one word or a snort or a gasp. You know, give him the little bit parts that no one will care about.
We are going to clip this and send it to him directly. We are talking to Tara Strong. Thank you so much for joining
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having me.
And today we are covering Harley Quinn. We are covering the history of Harley Quinn and kind of what she came to be and what she is now. Tara, you voiced Batgirl before you were Harley. What was that kind of like that transition of getting to play essentially a hero? In my opinion, Harley is still a hero, I guess an anti-hero, but what was it like switching from Batgirl Barbara Gordon to Harleen?
Well, first of all, it was so cool to be Batgirl. It was like I was pretty new in town, and there were a million people in that casting room, like A-list celebrities, huge voice talent. And I was like, oh, my God. And when I booked it, my agent's like, when you know you still had answering machines, he's like, oh, my God, you're her. You're the girl that's the bat. You're Batgirl. I was like, oh, my God. And then I was in the booth with Mark Hamill on one side and Kevin Conroy on the other, and I was like, holy crap. And there was Adrienne Barbeau, and then there was Arlene Sorkin, who is one of the most beautiful creatures you've ever seen. And her voice is so it's so distinctive and beautiful, and the character was created for her.
Yes.
They created Harley for her, and it's modeled after her. She has a similar look, and that voice is unmistakable, and watching her do her bits with Hamill, like, I really was, like, pinching myself every day just to be alongside this greatness. And I just always loved her and adored her. And then when they went into the Arkham games, they brought me in. There wasn't an audition process. They said they want to take Harley to a new level. And I was terrified because of those are some pretty big boots to fill. And, you know, people love their actors that create a voice that make that voice famous, which is great. You know, the fans that love us, we're nothing without them, and they get pissed off when we get replaced. So do we. So, you know, it's like, you know, I was really scared because she's such a beloved character that, oh my gosh, I hope people love my version, because they didn't want me to do an impression.
Right.
They wanted me to take what I knew of her and then make it my own and blow it out for this video game. And I was really, really nervous at that session. And to sort of tap into her essence, I had her, one of her famous lines on my phone. So like, anytime before I'd go into a session, I would just be like, you'd think after living with Mr. J all this time, I'd be used to a little pain. Like, that's how I'd get into it every time and then build from that. And by the way, Arlene was so gracious. Mm-hmm. Like, in the press, she said that she had spoken to her husband after she saw me working, like, maybe one of the first times on Batgirl. And she said, if there was anyone ever to take over for me, I'd want it to be Tara.
Oh, my gosh. That's.
I have not been as gracious to people that take my role. But she was just a doll. And I feel so honored to follow in her footsteps. And it's one of those roles that, like, when you're by yourself doing a video game, it can be completely so vocally taxing, because even if you're not doing 1,000 death sounds, it's just you for 4 hours nonstop. Yeah. And so sometimes you're like, oh, I have to do this video game. I know it's going to be crazy. Anytime it's Harley, I get so happy because it's like therapy.
Yeah.
Like, I get in there and get to scream at the world.
Yeah.
And it's so much fun. And now I feel like she's so much a part of me. Like, I get really upset when someone else plays Harley. Like, I'm like, that, I'm Harley, you know? And I just love any iteration of her, I love. And I've done so many.
Right.
You know, the video games is very specific. Then there was DC Girls and DC Superhero Girls. And then there's been some shorts that I've done and other entities. Like, anywhere she lives, she's a little bit different. Here she's more Harleen. Here she's a little bit older. Here she's a teenager. Here she's whatever. And you make that adjustment in your mind to be her in these different places. And it's always fun. And I do think she's a hero. Because,
I do too.
You know, first of all, you love to hate the bad guy anytime. But there's such like a sincerity to her and like a pure love. Like, no matter what's going on, no matter how abusive the Joker is, or no matter what she's facing, she still comes at her like prowess and her abilities and her agility from love. Even if she's, you know, bashing someone in the head.
Yeah.
It's like she's just pure, powerful love. And you have to love her because she does everything so completely. Like, there's nothing half-ass about Harley.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Which
she loves 100% and she hates 100%.
Oh, yeah.
She's extremely loyal. That's what I like. She's extremely loyal. And I feel that way, too, about Poison Ivy. I always see Poison Ivy as a hero. I'm like, she's trying to save the planet. Nobody's listening.
Yeah.
Like, we're the ones that are destroying the planet, and she will kill us if she has to. But, I agree. I think that there's such a fine line between hero and villain, and I really think it's depending on the perspective.
Well, it's like they say, the best villain is one that you can understand. I think the best villain is a hero who goes too far. You know, like, you know, have someone like Eric Killmonger, who you're like, I see where you're coming from. Please chill out. Even Thanos, I see where you're coming from. Please chill out. You know, like, that is the, because, you know, that hyper evil is just so done and cliche, and everyone does something for a reason. So to do something to rule the world or to end the world, it's like, well, why are you doing that?
Well, when you see a villain with vulnerability, that is like, it's so moving, because you always, anytime there's a superhero comic or character, you think, what's their origin story?
Yeah.
And when there's a villain and you see the origin stories, or you see what they're going through, it's like, wow. And there's always pieces that you can relate to, even if it's someone like Thanos or Harley, or like some crazy, like, okay, I can relate to that character, even though they can shoot lightning bolts out their eyeballs. There's something that I can relate to in their psyche.
Yeah, I feel that way because we did an episode on the Punisher, and I forgot to mention that he said, you're one bad day away from being me. Which is so true. That's how a lot of that's kind of what happened with Harleen,
that's right.
And I think that there is some, I think she has sympathy for the Joker, and then the Batman kind of has sympathy for her in watching this, watching her chase after him.
Oh, yeah. There definitely seems to be a level of Batman being like, you gotta, like, there were like a few episodes where you see him like, the Joker doesn't care about you, and she's like, shut up, here, I'm gonna hit you with a big mallet.
Did you guys get the digital remaster that just came out?
Oh yeah, you mean with the tiny Funko Pops?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's sitting
Isn't
there
it
in my
so
wall
so good
stuff. Yeah,
at Comic-Con they played it on the big screen side by side, and that show holds up anyway because
Oh, yes.
It's like film noir, it's mm-hmm. like beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
But to watch it recolored, it's like, holy crap, it's so beautiful.
Oh man, yeah, I got it. I mean, I feel like, you know, we're talking about origin stories. I think this is a good place to jump in on Harley Quinn. So Harley Quinn, her full name is Dr. Harlene Frances Quinzel. This is a PhD. And this is, you know, what's dope is she came from the animated series, but she still had that, like, 90s level, like, naming where, like, superhero names, their real name sounds like their nickname. Like,
Oh, yeah.
I always bring it up on the podcast. Black Bolt's real name is Blackagar Boltigan. It's like, it's like, wow, y'all really shot for the moon.
Wait,
there.
Edward Enigma?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's the Riddler. It's like, come on. Like, that's where I'd be like, that's the guy. that has to be the
killer.
Guy. Yeah, it sounds like him. But Harley Quinn's a fictional character appearing in DC Comics, was created by Paul Dini and Bruce Timm, and first appeared in Batman the Animated Series, which makes her so unique. You know, which goes to show just the like, you know, I feel like a lot of times people underestimate or underappreciate, except for the fans, overappreciate, but you appreciate just enough voice actors and just how dynamic their performance can be, because Harley Quinn would not exist without the performance. You know, like, if that wasn't a amazing performance in the animated series, it could have just been a character that lived and died with the series. But instead,
right.
It was so good that
and
people
And that's
like,
because of Arlene.
Yeah.
Like, had she not given that voice all those crazy little quirks and mm-hmm. highs and lows and things that catch your ear and go, whoa, what was that?
Yeah.
It's not just another chick's voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, she breathed life into this character that you want to hear more from, even though it can be high or irritating or
yeah.
crazy. Like, I got to hear.
But it works.
I want to hear more of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so going off of what you were saying about Arlene, so she was a former star of the soap opera Days of Our Lives and appeared in a dream sequence on that series in which she wore a jester costume. So like Tara
yeah.
was saying, it was literally based off
literally of her. That episode is why they created Harley.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
yeah.
she
that
appeared in an episode titled Joker's Favor in September of 1992. Tara, I wanted to know, because she was just supposed to be kind of like a walk-on role. Like, she was just supposed to kind of be like the sidekick, but not really have what she is now. Why do you think that people latched on to her have stayed latched on to her?
Yeah, and I think that reason has changed over time. And I think initially people were so drawn to her because, first of all, the fact that Joker even has a girlfriend
right.
is
yeah.
interesting. Like, who would date the Joker?
Yes.
And the fact that she's so lovable and so loyal, and also her costumes are always kick-ass. Mm-hmm. No matter what they put her in, Harley's like, you know, it's like the biggest cosplay, like, especially Comic-Con, but any of them, you know, there's just Harley events. Like, I went to like a Harley panel and the whole room was Harley. Of course, I surprised everyone and cosplayed and it was great. Those
oh,
pictures
man.
Are awesome. But I think people like I think they were drawn to her initially because of the total package. It was her drawing. It was the writing of her. It was the acting. It was how she looked and the dynamic between her and Joker and how she would go for Batman. Like, what cute little chick's going to go after Batman? Harley, you know? Like, I think there was so much that went into this perfect storm to create this kick-ass chick. And then over the years, why people love her and how she sustained is because she's grown with the times. You know, some characters stay very classic, but she's like grown. Like, people are like, wow, like in some of the games that you see, like, her becoming her own woman and her own power and kicking ass by herself. And like, I just think it's something people aspire to. They go, oh, well, she started out as this meek little, you know, wilting flower beside Joker, and now she's, you know, doing things by herself and kicking ass all on her own. It's like, wow, people are mm-hmm. like blown away by her power. And she's so powerful. Like, you're just drawn to her. And everybody sees something in themselves from her. I'm not saying people are all psychopaths, but they, you know, definitely see, well, I've put up with some crap in my life
yeah,
that I shouldn't
sure.
have, and I still love that guy or whatever
yeah.
it is that you go, ah, oh, she's so devoted. And but also, she's so cute. And that's a part of it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Her design is so cute. It is a reason people cosplay her. People don't always cosplay Timmy Turner if they're a chick, because that's not hot, really.
My next costume,
yeah, yeah.
sexy Timmy
All
Turner.
All right, let's see. I'm going to look for that.
A I did want to say this was an interview from Bruce Timm in Vanity Fair in 2016. He said, "We didn't want to give Joker a girlfriend because it humanizes him. We are really trying to stress how bizarre and creepy he could be." And this is from Paul Dini in Complex. "I was writing the script for the Batman animated series when I was coming up with an idea for the Joker's gang of henchmen. I thought I'd like to put a female character in there. I was going back and forth in my head about what kind of character she should be. What if she's funny? What if there's a bit of a throwback to the henchmen from Batman in the 60s? What if she gets laughs from the henchmen sometimes when the Joker doesn't?" Like, that's what I really love about her, is that, like you said, she moves, honestly, from being a follower to a leader.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She went from, she appeared in Suicide Squad in the New 52. Mm-hmm. That was in 2011. The New 52 was when DC came through and kind of just redid a lot of their lines. And then she ended up in Rebirth having her own comic, Harley Quinn comic. And she's also in Gotham City Sirens. And yeah.
And she's like one of the only sustainable know, comic heroes that didn't start as a comic.
Yes.
And, you know, and now all her comics are huge, and the comic, the bigger book ones are awesome. And I mean, I bought them all. I haven't read them all yet, but as soon as I did Killing Joke, I had to buy everything that was like that too.
You're like, let me get Bat.
Yeah.
What's so funny about it too is Harley is kind of similar in Joker, in the sense that Joker was supposed to just be a villain of the week, and somehow he caught on. And then, you know, same thing for Harley. She was going to be just this character who popped on, and she just was so amazing that you, there is something I think about her that is just so infectious, where you just love seeing her. And I think it is just in a way where I find that, you know, Joker, like, he is funny, but he's funny in a creepy way. Like, it's very dark, and you don't really trust his laughs, where Harley seems like she's having fun. You know, you're like, you know, you're doing bad
stuff,
but you're having a good time.
She's definitely not creepy, but she's also a train wreck, which is always fun to watch. You know, like, what is that girl going to do next?
What's
gonna
happen? Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Tara, I wanted to actually quote you, because we have this in here from that Vanity Fair article where you said, "Feminism is about showing women as fully fleshed out human beings, and that's what Harley is. She doesn't make choices that are smart or good for a woman, but she gets to make those choices. Men are allowed to be fuck-ups in all kinds of characters, and women aren't. We have to be idolized. She gets to not be."
That was a good quote.
Our producer Dan put that in there. He was like, wow, because he pulled a lot of the research. He was like, he texted us yesterday and was like, wow, a lot of these quotes are from Tara. I do want to say that she kind of paved the way for characters that we see now, like Jessica Jones, who, you know, deals with mental illness, and she's alcoholic, and she's allowed to be flawed. But way before she appeared, we had characters like Harley that were kind of groundbreaking, of like, no, women don't have to be pretty and perfect all the time. Mm-hmm. They can still be super strong, but have flaws, which makes them more relatable.
Yeah, yeah. I find that, you know, that is like the pinnacle to representation, because lots of times when people are like, insert, you know, certain race or women here, there's this need to make them always perfect, because we're like, we don't want to offend them. But it's like, no, we, you know, the fun stuff usually in media and storytelling is like seeing someone fail and bounce back and go through hard times. And, you know, you don't want to see someone just be perfect.
Well, that's boring.
Yeah, I mean, it's very boring. So you don't get to do the fun stuff.
No.
So that is very true. Like, you know, it was especially like, I think pre Harley, pre a lot of stuff, you know, you usually have the Leave It to Beaver syndrome, where, like, you know, the wife is the homemaker and she's perfect and she's not going through stuff, even though she's taking care of 5 kids and a dog. You know, you mean she's not in the back smoking cigarettes?
She needs a little Harley Quinn in her life. Yeah. She needs to come and like, sister, put down the dishes. Let's go crack some skulls somewhere.
She's like, yes, please.
Let that man do the dishes.
I was going to say, we are going to get into some of Harley's abilities, as well as the video games, right after these messages.
We're back.
Tara, you were talking about how strong she is, and I think a lot of times people do forget a lot of Harley's abilities. I mean, Harleen's ability, Harleen. I was thinking of her abilities as a doctor, even, that she's incredibly smart. I think as goofy as she is, she has a PhD.
Oh, yeah.
Does anyone else in this room have a PhD?
Well, that's what's funny about picking up, like, storytelling, is there's so many years of lore that's, I find, the most fun part of like comics, where there's one writer who's like, oh, we never talk about that, let's touch on that. And I am waiting for the Harley comic where she's like cooking up all these different, you know, because like if you think about it, Joker's always trying to make those like laugh gases. Harley probably is the one who knows how to cook it up the best.
Yeah, it's always fun too as an actor to play her both ways. Like if there's flashbacks or things of her from when she was Harleen, more Harleen. Like there's a difference in my voice when I'm doing Harleen as opposed to when I'm doing Harley, even within the same game. And it's always so interesting to like bring in the crazy. You know, like she starts out like, okay, what you know, what's bothering you today? And then she's like, holy crap. Like she's like, you know, and vocally I come at it from a different place. I mean, when I'm in the studio, I like imagine in my mind what's happening. I see all the action. So that sort of happens organically where it's a little bit lower, a little more like a human, you know? Yeah. And then when it becomes Harley, it's like game over.
I know. Just, you know, I just want to talk a quick sidebar about the talent of voice actors. Like sometimes when you hear interviews of voice actors, like, oh, I just do an impression of this person doing an impression of this person, like, oh, I stopped at the first one, I'm not good. And it seems like Harley is one of those characters who seems like it is like almost like, I don't know, it's an accent but then taken to the max. I don't know, what would you say?
Well, I'd say for starters that it is not and can't be an impression. If you're just copying what someone did before, you'll never capture their essence. And especially someone like Harley, who is so deep and so complicated and conflicted. If you're just trying to sound alike, you're never going to get to that core. And part of what makes her so incredible is, you know, there's a lot of deep stuff going on. Yeah. And you can't just say, hey, I'm going to copy that. Anytime I've been in an animated session where someone's coming in and doing an impression of, let's say, a Mel Blanc character that's not around anymore, I always, like, it drives me nuts where I can hear the difference between someone that just does a good impression and someone that captures the essence of that character. And there's a huge, huge difference. And not everybody can do both. And you can hear it right away. And that's one reason some people don't like a version of Bugs Bunny, a version of Harley, because you're they're not the greatest actor. They're just copying a voice. And whenever someone wants to get into voice acting, they say, how do you start? I said, have you ever taken an acting class? You have to come at it from an acting standpoint. You have to take acting classes, scene study, improv, singing lessons to know what your voice can do. Like, you got to have a bag of tricks. You can't just go in there and read off a paper or copy something you've heard, because it's not going to be authentic.
Yeah.
So that's like a big, big deal. And not every voice actor can do impressions, even if they have good ears.
See, that's me. I'm the worst at impressions.
That's okay. You might be a good voice actor.
I don't know. I'm going to go inside baseball after, you know, letting our CVA listeners see. I always get those nuggets from you when I get these geniuses in here. So feel free to thank me. I always like to ask for thanks because, you know, that's what keeps me going.
Okay, thank you for that.
You know, it's great that you say that. Because we're getting back to Harley.
Are you trying to transition to
her? Not yet, because I'm still in inside baseball mode. I get so mad when I get a VO audition. It's like, oh, this was a role done by X, so sound like X. And you're like, oh, why am I getting this? I don't know how to sound like that person. Is your advice the same? Just do you, or is it?
Well, if you're supposed to sound exactly, if they're trying to do exactly a voice match and you can't get there. If you have a couple days to get there, work on it. Like, really work on it. And if you can't get there, don't go in.
Yeah.
If you can get there and still bring your own essence into it, go for it. But there's going to be people in there that get it, that are perfect. And you don't want to walk in there and they're like, oh, that guy sounds exactly like Bugs and I sound like, you know, Timmy Turner. No, it's not going to work, right?
Yeah.
So you better be pretty close if you're going to go in and try and voice match, but still make it your own, but not vocally necessarily with your acting. Mm. You know, like initially for the new Rocky and Bullwinkle show that I'm doing, they didn't want a voice match. They said, we wanted to capture the essence of Rocky, but not a voice match. So I was actually pretty terrified because it hasn't been animated since the 60s. And the adult generation or people that have watched it on reruns know what they want to hear. And I'm like, are you guys sure you don't want to do an impression? And then there was chemistry reads, which means you go in with the person that's playing Bullwinkle, which is Brad Norman. And he's doing exactly Moose. And everyone else in the show is exactly Natasha and, you know, Fearless Leader. They are all those people. So I was like, wow, because they want me a little deeper and a little more sarcastic. And so I did that. I booked it. But it still didn't feel exactly right to me. And I swear to God, when June died, it's like she jumped in my body and be like, girl, this is how it's supposed to sound, right? And I begged the director to let me go back and do the first few episodes more like Rocky, which we did.
Oh, wow.
So you have to know who you're playing and know everything about that character. If you have to do an impression, watch that stuff over and over and over and get it. Like years ago, I had to do a Rosie Perez impression. And at first, I didn't have it. And I watched White Man Can't Jump 1,000 times, like over and over. And at first, I'm like, you know, sometimes when you win, you actually, and I'm like over and over and over. And then finally, I'm like, sometimes when you win, you actually lose. And sometimes when you lose, you actually win. And sometimes when you tie, you actually win or lose. And I'm like, oh, there she is. That's Rosie Perez. Like, it took me a while to like get her, you know, and then I can say anything. You can ask me anything and I can say it like her. But I didn't just go, oh, I'll try. Like, I worked on that for days till it hit the right pocket.
All right.
Now you know the work.
Now you know it. Now you, that was a free masterclass.
It
you
really
got.
Was.
Look, only Nerdificent dropping nuggets like this.
I know.
That's why you need to sub to me on Twitch. At least thank me back. No, I'm just kidding. Let's go into these abilities. So we were talking about her being a doctor, but she does have abilities because she has friends. For example, Poison Ivy, who is toxic by nature. She didn't want to poison Harley with her natural toxin. So Harley Quinn is immune to various, though not all, toxin and heals quickly from minor wounds. See, so she's not just a doctor with a big old mallet. She actually has some...
Although that mallet, ooh, if we are saying, she has tremendous strength because that mallet is like...
huge.
It's massive. Oh. Talk about the girl's forearms. I mean, that's like, that's superhuman strength.
Yeah.
Harley Quinn, superhuman. Superhuman. She's a superhero.
Yeah, she did enhance her strength and natural agility and developed an immunity to Joker's venom and toxic gas. So, and it was mentioned in the Batman animated series and comic books. And she probably has immunity from other knockout chemicals. There's a lot of fake outs she likes to do where she's like, I'm knocked out. Just kidding.
I love that.
Sorry.
Okay, you're having a good time. You're having a good time.
You need to listen to her a thousand times.
I know. I'm going to listen to this
episode. I would love
that,
though. If you do listen to Tara 1,000 times, you come back and you have that voice down, we will be...
Give it a try.
Something that I forgot about Harley is that she is a gymnast. She's a trained gymnast, and she was actually before she... When she was studying to be to get her PhD, she was a gymnast. So she can bend in ways
that
we don't
even know. She's pretty agile.
Yeah. Yeah. She makes that pretty apparent. I did want to say also that she has a PhD in criminal psychology. She also, I want to say, as someone that is a hardcore feminist, I like the fact that she does use her sexuality in certain ways.
Like you say, over the years, it's changed.
Yes.
She was a lot more submissive in the beginning, but she's found her power over the years, and she's not afraid to use it.
Yeah, as she shouldn't be. And I think her being sex positive is also important, too, because I feel like that has changed, and I feel like my generation is super sex positive, and we're no longer just, like, trying to shame women, you know? So I like that. I like that about her costumes. I like that she can be sexy, smart, and super freaking strong.
Yeah.
That's
I
true.
Like that too. So you know I'm the game, dude.
Actually changed with Arkham Asylum. And then, Tara, you came in for Arkham City, Origins, and Night.
Yeah, let's talk about the skeletons of this. How, because, you know, in games, it's a lot different than just a straight narrative script. You're doing all these potential side, you know, comments, especially like if a player chooses to ask a million questions. Is that a different process, or is it just a longer session?
Well, when you're doing a series, you're with typically the other actors, so you're playing off each other, which I prefer to do because it's more fun. Like if someone says, we gotta go, you might go, okay. If someone, you know, you're responding, you're listening as the actor. So when you're doing a video game, you're all by yourself and you have to like imagine what the other people are saying. And in video games, you have to act out all the different scenarios that could happen. So yes, it's a lot more work. It's a lot more dialogue. Like if it's almost like a choose your own adventure book, like you have to record every which way that could end, right? And a lot of times you're recording like the idle lines too, like, hello, I'm just sitting here. You want to pick me to do something? Boring. Like you know, you gotta, there's so much to record. And I think the most vocally taxing are the pain noises and the fighting noises. They can be bad. Like, you know, okay, in this scene, Harley's electrocuted. Okay. In this scene, she's falling off a cliff and dies. And you know, there's so many different things that you have to record. And it's a lot. It's a lot for sure. But it's I don't know why with Harley, it's just never a chore. Like, I always feel so grateful to be in those shoes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm. I did want to say, because her costume changed with these games, but then also with Suicide Squad, which I saw you dress up as. Do you have a favorite costume of hers?
Ooh.
I think the first game is still my favorite that I did. And I remember being at Comic-Con and seeing like a building of her in the new outfit and going, holy crap. I don't know if we can swear on this show. So
they'll bleep you.
Okay. Holy crap. Like, Harley in full, she's a building. Like, she's huge. Like, wow. And she's so hot and sexy and strong. And I was like, I don't know. That would have been my first choice for a Harley cosplay. But I ended up doing, I think, a different one the first time, which was so much fun. Because normally at Comic-Con, I can't walk from my hotel to the con without people going, Tara Strong, Tara Strong, Tara Strong. But as Harley, I could go anywhere because there's a million Harleys.
Yeah.
And in fact, people wanted to take my picture because they liked the costume. And there was this one guy that's like, can I take your picture? Harley's my favorite. And there's like 13 I've taken today. And I said, okay, Puddin', but am I your favorite? And he goes, I don't know. I've seen a lot of good ones. And like, I just like couldn't wait for that guy to go home and like make his iPhone just a little bigger. It was so much fun to do that. I had the best time.
That'd be funny if he uploads it. It's like facial recognition, Tara Strong, yeah. Like on there.
There was like a family that just happened. You know, I love cosplay families. It's the cutest thing ever when they're all in costume. And like the mom was Batgirl. The daughter was Raven. The boy was Ben 10. The other daughter was Harley, and I was with a director friend of mine, and the mom said, will you take a picture with my daughter? She's dressed as Harley. And I said, sure. And then they're like, actually, let's do a family photo. And I said, okay. And I'm standing next to Raven, and I go, do you know who I am? And she's like, I know who I am. And I go, okay, whatever. And she's like, yeah, whatever. Like, they didn't know, right? And then my director goes, you know she voices all of you, right? Like, she's your whole family, right? And they were like, oh my God. Second, they were like, it's just, but cosplay is so fun.
It is. Yeah, yeah, I always love, I liked seeing when Daniel Radcliffe was like Spider, I think he walked around as Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but since he had a mask on, nobody
knew.
No
one knew, yeah.
That's the greatest. It's so much fun.
My favorite is one year, like Blake Anderson from Workaholics was, he wanted to go in and buy stuff and he just put on a Wolverine mask.
Yeah.
And I was like, but I could still see your hair. But I was like, yeah, but I only know because I know it's you. Anyone else is like, who's that weird hair Wolverine
guy?
But
it's so fun to just walk around the con incognito and be able to go anywhere and do anything. It's fun.
Ify, I was going to say, we have to take another break. So I think that we can take a break and then wrap up with the future of Harley. And
yeah. And
Valetta,
you know, it's going to be a new segment I call the Gush Session. And we'll go there.
That sounds not good.
You know, let's just go to
break. Should I be
afraid? That doesn't sound good.
It'll make sense. It'll make sense when we get to it.
Okay.
We'll see you after the break.
No, wait, is that you're going to a break?
Yeah. What did you want to do?
I don't know. Just say, hey, so we'll get into, you know, the movies, the future of Harley Quinn, and wrap up, and that's whatever. Or we could keep that.
We're keeping all of that. We'll see y'all after the break.
That's great. And we're back. And before we move on to current Harley, I just wanted to touch on, for those of you that are kind of thinking of where to start with her, obviously the animated series, which Tara was saying, still holds up so beautifully. I feel like you could honestly freeze frame any part of that show and like make it a poster. It's so pretty. But another thing is her, she also appears, Harley appears in the 1994 graphic novel, The Batman Adventures Mad Love, and that recounts a lot of her origin story, and also her, you know, her love with Joker, that relationship. You can see all of that in Mad Love. I actually just bought it. I'm really excited.
Ooh.
I was listening to a podcast of people talking about it, and it sounds amazing. So pick that up. And yeah, so now we have Harley in Suicide Squad. She also is going to be in Birds of Prey.
My fans went ape when they found out I wasn't playing her on camera.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dudes, I go on Twitter. I'm like, Margot Robbie's the hottest chick ever. And she's a stunningly amazing actress. She's also a lot younger than me. I mean, not that much younger, but like, like, let her shine, yeah. you know? Yeah. And she's a star. Like, I'd pick her to play Harley. Like, great.
You know? I understand that, but I would like a Tara Harley Quinn. I see
you know
it
what?
Here.
I've said a million times, which I think would be really fun. Mm-hmm. I think they should put me, Himmel, and Conroy like in a booth at a diner, gosh. Like how you know Stan Lee does his little thing. I think we need a little cameo.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, that'd be so dope.
Wouldn't the fans go nuts?
Yeah.
Totally. Totally. So I was reading, I thought I read somewhere though that you did like a little thing of Harley for Arrow.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was like her, because people didn't really get to see her, right?
People went nuts because they knew right away it was my voice. And I was like, you guys should put me on the show. The fans would really like that. But anyway, it was just that one little one-off, but that was fun.
Everybody write. Everybody tweet. Make this happen.
Tara for Arrow. Hashtag Tara, the number four, Arrow.
Maybe they could do like, you know, Harley's a mom and she has teenage boys or something. Like, mom Harley.
Of course.
What does Harley as a mom do? Like, she still like likes to dress up and look hot, but then in the morning she makes oatmeal. Like,
Yeah.
Maybe she kicks ass at night.
Yeah.
But during the day, she goes to PTA meetings.
Oh my gosh. That would make a lot of sense.
That would be such a cool run.
Mom Harley.
Yeah.
You know, at home, she's like, everyone have their breakfast. Then she's like, bye. Time to kick some booty. Oh. Maybe, you know, there's two. I don't know.
I'm in.
You guys can totally pitch that, steal it. Yeah, it's fine. Just
I'm sold.
Put me in an episode.
We'll do it.
Yeah.
I know.
Let's do it. Let's get to cracking.
I did want to say, in Suicide Squad, I did like the fact that Harley was, you know, she still had her hopes and dreams when she was in love with Joker. They had that La La Land sequence of her, like, with a baby. Yeah. And I love that fact that, like, what Tara was saying, that she's fully fleshed out. You know, she's not a one-dimensional villain. She's a woman that had dreams of her own. She's someone that has this love interest. She then, like we said, moves from a follower to a leader. She's a one-woman show.
Yeah.
Iffy, is this where you wanted to do your gush session before we let Tara clock out?
Yeah, gush session. Like, I want to individually just go down IMDb and thank you for each individually, like, you know, Ben 10.
That could take a while.
Inspector Gadget. we have two more hours, right?
I do want to tell Tara. So we had Arise Wanzer, who's a transgender actress and supermodel, come on, and she did our My Little Pony episode. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about how much your show, the new animated show, has affected her life.
I hear that.
And it's so, and we went over the history of it and cutie marks and like just representation and what it means to people. But that it is just, she was really funny. She was like, you know, anytime I'm feeling bad and I can see a rainbow coming out of a pony's butt, it makes me feel.
No, I meet like the hottest army bronies that like paint Pinkie Pie on their tanks and sing the songs to get them through crap in Afghanistan. It's like, what? Like, and they're like hot. I don't know. There's something really magical about that show that people really identify with. And the thing that I love about animation in general, but certainly My Little Pony, is that you can be from anywhere. You're any color, you're any age, any background, like everybody's friends. And it's just like the inclusiveness of that show teaches such amazing lessons, which we obviously need today.
Yeah.
And I love that transgender people like feel like, oh my God, I am relating to these characters. I love these shows because nobody is judged in these shows. Everybody's accepted and loved no matter what. Even the villains, right? Mm-hmm. Pretty much every villain on My Little Pony has become a good guy. Like, you know, and I don't understand bullying or hatred of any kind. So the fact that I'm in a show that in particularly is inclusive and welcoming of everyone is like, and when I meet these people at cons that say, you don't know what this show did for me, it saved my life, I was suicidal or I was whatever, it's like means the world to me.
Yeah,
that's so dope, and I'm so happy you could do that. I got one question, another random question. Are you able to pull any character, people come up and go, I loved you in this blank character? Are you able to just like, okay, here it is?
Yep.
Oh my gosh, that's so good.
She's perfect. I know you want to ask for one.
I don't have one in mind. I was just looking and I was like, man, what if somebody like came through and was like, Talia and the Animal Crackers?
I actually can do that one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Animal Crackers, by the way, is the most beautiful movie ever. Oh, and it hasn't come out yet because there's been some problems with the distribution.
Oh, yeah.
But she talks like this. She's a beautiful girl and it would be great to see this movie come out.
You're so perfect.
I was very perfect in this movie, yes.
I just mean in general, but okay.
Oh, thank you.
Well, is there anything you'd like to plug or let people know where to find you?
You can find me on all my social media at Tara Strong. And just, I mean, I have some fun stuff coming up that I would get fired if I told you about.
Okay. But, don't worry, it's on your IMDb. It says post-production.
I think the only new thing I'd love people to check out is the new Rocky and Bullwinkle, because it's hard to catch it. It's on Amazon Prime, so people don't know where to find it. But this season in particular is so funny. We have Weird Al and all kinds of great guests on it. It's a really, really funny, great show.
Oh, man.
And the new DC Girls show that I'm doing with Lauren Faust is brilliant.
So
and to play Batgirl and Harley, by the way, back to back is so much fun. And and Lauren is such a genius. I do think she's the reason Pony's such a success. Her brain just works a different way. Yeah. So getting to play both those characters. It's funny, initially she said to me, I have some good news and some bad news. The good news is I want you to be Batgirl. Great. Because anytime I look at a script and see Batgirl, my heart's like so happy. So the bad news is you can't be Harley. I said, why? And she said, because I want Batgirl to live in Harleyland. I want Batgirl hyper and crazy and, you know, she has no attention span and she's all over the place and I'm just worried it's going to be too close to Harley. And as, you know, I had to kind of say, I understand. But because I've played so many iterations of Harley, I said, do me a favor. Bring me in. And we'll do Batgirl, and then let me do 5 or 6 different Harleys beside it and see if we can still pull it off.
Ooh.
And so we do the Batgirl, we set her voice, which is higher than any Batgirl I've done because she's crazy, crazy town. And then we start playing around with Harley, and I sort of had this inspiration to make her a little Brittany Murphy-ish. And like that kind of clicked into her. And so they heard that and they were like, okay, no more auditions. We're done here. And so to play them both back to back and yet another version of Harley was so fun. So check that show out too. And it's totally different and fun.
Oh, that sounds so fun and exciting.
Yeah.
You know me, it's your boy, Ify Wadiwe, IFYNWADIWE on Twitter and Instagram, IFDs on Twitch. Speaking of which, after you get that Amazon Prime and watch all of that go through, make sure you go ahead and connect it to your Twitch and give me them Twitch Prime subs. Y'all been coming through watching me play video games, and I love it. A lot of times y'all talk about what we talked about on here, and we keep the conversation going. I like that. You like that. We all like that. Also come to the Discord, Salt Squad. discord.gg/saltsquad and just keep pumping and you stay watching them stories. You never know when a thirst trap coming through.
Gosh,
look,
same
a
for
lot
me,
of people been hitting me up saying you slowing down on thirst traps. It's like, well, I gotta keep it surprising.
I mean, true. I'm at Ms. Danny Fernandez on all the socials. I wrote in a book called The Good Immigrant that drops here in the U.S. February 19th. It's a collection of essays from actors and writers of color. I was super honored to be asked to be a part of these very talented people. Pick it up or pre-order it. You can pre-order on Amazon. It's coming out.
Tight.
Yeah.
All right, well.
Tight.
You know, we usually do this, and we might as well keep it going. So, at the end of the show, we say, stay nerdy. And you know, I guess since it's the Harley episode, can we get a Harley Quinn saying, stay nerdy?
Stay nerdy, puddins!